Hello and welcome to TWATS, the Theatre Workers and Technical Staff Podcast. It's the podcast in which I talk to people backstage within the technical theatre industry about their experiences, how they got in, and any advice they can give to anybody getting in. This is episode 11 of season 2, the penultimate episode. How quick has it gone? Very quick, you say? Very quick, Bram. Thank you for your continued feedback. Thank you for the downloads. Thank you for the questions you've been sending in. Looking forward to that. If you want to email us, it's twatspod@hotmail.com. Facebook is Twats Podcast. Instagram is Twats Podcast. And TikTok is Twats Podcast. Tell your friends and tell your family and tell anybody who you think might be interested and might even people who might not be interested. Tell them anyway, because it's a good fun podcast. And saying that, without further ado, let's get on to our next guest. I'm with my guest at this time. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell me what your current job title is.
Hello, my name's Bill DiMeo. I'm a dep at the moment here on Book of Mormon, and I've been depping on Wicked and on Six. I've been doing this for a long time, so up to the pandemic I was working full-time, but now I'm getting a little older. I'm taking it easy and just trying to do as little as possible.
Okay. How did you get into theatre, Bill?
I did it. We did a lot at school. We had a big drama society at school. And I had a local theatre, the Churchill Theatre in Bromley. And I always fancied doing it, actually. So I wrote a letter to the stage manager, actually, saying that I would accept any kind of job, stage management, wardrobe, and I had no idea what I was talking about, and he kindly wrote back and said, it doesn't quite work like that, but if you come in and see me, you know, we'll find you some crewing work on the pantomime, and that's how it kind of started.
Excellent. I like people who start working on pantomime, because yeah, they're the best things to
and
start
I just
with.
Did lots of shows through the years of just, you know, I wasn't full-time, so mainly crewing, but I learned the sort of basics and the fundamentals of theatre by doing that. And then about 7 years later, I really needed to decide what I was going to do. So I spoke to Chris, who was the technical manager at the theatre, saying, it's such a shame you don't have a job as an assistant sound engineer, because I'd like to be able to do that. I'd done some studio stuff and I'd been in a band. And he said, well, funny enough, this is how it used to work. The sound engineer was leaving. Would you like to put your name forward? So I said, oh, all right then. And I went in and he, you know, for a few days just to go through some stuff and managed to get the job. I'm not sure it's more by luck than judgment, really, but it started there.
Excellent. So did you do any training at all, or was it all on the job stuff?
Mainly on the job, actually, yeah, with Chris to start with. And then as I sort of started working with sound designers, the first person really I worked with was Greg Pink. On the tour of 42nd Street and Barnum, and he taught me an awful lot, actually, about just setting up systems, you know, yeah, and just what to listen for, and it kind of really went on from there. And I seem to have a knack for mixing. I probably could have worked harder at the technical side, but yeah.
Excellent. What can you remember the name of the first job you had backstage in theatre, paid job?
I was second casual. That's what you mean, the very, very first job.
Okay, well,
the
yeah,
first
what show? Job.
Oh, God. Cinderella.
Cinderella at the Churchill Theatre.
With Eunice Stubbs, Dickie Henderson, and I can't remember it. And then sort of went on, oh, I worked with all the stars, Danny LaRue, Roland Ratt.
I've worked with Danny Roland Ratt. Excellent. Give us a list of other shows you've done.
Well, once I actually started doing sound, so as I said, I worked for a year at the Churchill, and then I did a show called Hold Tight at 60s Night, which was interesting. It was only a small tour around Britain. And then I actually knew a guy called Amos who said to me, why don't you try and, you know, do something a bit bigger? So I put my name up. 42nd Street was at Drury Lane. And I went in to see Andrew, who was the sound number one on it. And
Andrew being?
Oh, Andrew Lee Small. I'm sorry. Yes, right, this okay. is quite long. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. It's fine.
Time ago. And ended up going on tour with him, actually, as his number two, and then took over from there.
Excellent. And any others? What did you do after
that? Yeah, then after that, I moved on to, from 42nd Street, I went to Barnum. And then we were on tour again around Britain, and I came back. And the same person, Amos Christie, who's a friend of mine who is a sound engineer, suggested rather than go back on tour, I contact a man called Martin Levan, who I subsequently found out was a very famous sound designer, thinking I wouldn't get much. And after a couple of days, he phoned me back and said, well, I'd like to do Starlight Express. Wow. And I was thinking, well, a number two job on that would be great if I could manage that. And he said, no, number one. So I got thrown in at the deep end a bit. But again,
for people who don't know, that's the Starlight, the original Starlight.
Yeah, the one at the Victoria Apollo.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'd already been there, I think, since 1984. And I started, they revamped it in 1993.
Yes, the new Starlight Express.
The new Starlight Express, yeah.
Just sped it up a bit, didn't they?
Really, yeah. And then, yes, from there I went to Whistle Down the Wind and then on to subsequent shows.
Lovely. What would you say was your favourite job that you did, that you've had?
Well, I mean, it's of all those things you can do in sound, it is mixing, which I'm sure lots of people say. And my favourite one, I think, was probably 42nd Street, actually, because we had a 28-piece orchestra.
Oh, that's always
that
nice.
Toured with us. You know, so it was actually, there was no click or anything
it's
like
really
that.
Full
it was
and
full and live and, yeah. And lush, yeah. So that to mix, probably that one. And then Starlight Express, probably, just because it was...
Because it's Starlight Express,
Starlight Express,
of course. Have you ever come across any issues in the industry of people holding you back, naming no names, or do you think you've ever not got jobs because of other people or anything like that?
I don't think so.
Good.
No.
Good answer. What would you say are the pros and cons of working in the industry?
The pros are, I think, it's just a whole different world to work in. I have lots of friends that are brokers or bankers and stuff, you know, and it's obviously clearly very different. Things change a lot as well. So, you know, when you're moving from show to show, and especially if you're touring as well, and you're finding out about the country as you're touring around.
I think also, I've said it before in previous episodes, but I think if you get the opportunity to tour, you should definitely tour.
Oh, absolutely.
You learn so much when you're touring.
You certainly do, yes. Yeah, there's no autograph to phone up and they'll just pop round the corner and sort you out, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Any cons at all other than hours?
Hours? I mean, wages used to be quite poor, but I think they're beginning to catch up.
Yeah, they're slightly getting
that.
I think slightly. I mean, I don't think any of us can particularly complain about what we get paid.
Not really. And it's just not comparable to sort of like I have a friend who's a broker in a shipping firm, and I think his Christmas bonus was probably what I earned in a year. You know. But it's just a whole different thing. But also, he's been sitting behind the same desk.
Yeah.
For 40-odd years, you know.
Well, I mean, whereas you've just been sitting behind different desks for the 40-odd years. what would you say is a common misconception of anybody who's trying to get in the industry? So if somebody's trying to get in the industry, what they think it is that it's actually not?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, as I know some of my friends are, about my work colleagues are, about coming straight out of drama school.
Yeah.
Being trained as a designer and then coming into the theatre and assuming that's what you're going to do immediately.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the individual's fault, and I'm not sure how much it is the college's fault, but really it's not a good thing to come in, and especially if you speak to people that have been doing it a long time and start saying, well, I won't be doing that. No, I'm a designer. You know?
Yeah, hanging four speakers in a college show or fixing up three moving lights in a college show does not make you a designer.
And also, Bram, the actual coming straight in and thinking you can fit in when it's a whole life to learn as you're going along.
Yes.
You know, there's so many different aspects to it. And away from sound, you know, just the whole running of a show and how it goes and who, you know, who's who and who does what.
And there's also a lot of different characters and different, mentalities that you have to
assimilate
with.
I don't know if it's harder now. It used to be a bit more word of mouth, but I think these days it's a bit trickier to get in. I'm not entirely sure, but
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. I think, I suppose in a way it can be tricky to get in. The thing is that there's only so many jobs, isn't there, well?
Of course.
And there's a lot of people wanting to be in, so...
And also, once you get in, keep your head down and stay quiet for a while is always quite a good idea.
Listen.
Because, yeah, just because listen to people.
And learn.
You know, because you don't know who you're surrounded by, and you'll learn a lot more that way.
Yeah.
And get asked back as well.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're just coming in depping or something, if you know, keep your head down and do it.
And that's not saying don't be a character. It's not saying don't be yourself.
At all.
I think what you're trying to get at, though, is you go in, you be yourself, but don't. There's a thing we have at the moment, I feel, a lot with over-familiarity, in the fact that somebody will come into a room, come into a show that's been established for quite a long time, and just try and almost force their personality onto those people.
Absolutely.
And that's how you'll struggle, and you've just got to. You can still have your personality, but you've got to find a way of fitting that in within the grand scheme of within the culture of
and
the
when
show.
When you walk in somewhere new, there are a lot of personalities, and they've been there for a while as well, probably. Especially if the show's been running for a while, and don't assume that you're just going to be taken on and you're going to reach heady heights in the first 6 months or something, because it takes longer.
It really does.
It should do, because it's a skillful job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do learn as you go along.
Yeah. And finally, what advice could you give to somebody who's trying to get in? Other than get in, keep your head down and listen.
Yeah. I mean, I think college obviously does help these days, because it's become a lot more technical, hasn't it?
Yes.
So I think you have to study to know what these things do now.
It's not just big analog desks like you used to have.
Let's see what happens.
There's a lot of digital stuff.
And also just be consistent and persistent as well, you know, and keep writing and keep phoning. And eventually you'll get somewhere. It just probably feels at first that you keep writing in and sending your CV and you're not getting anywhere. But you've only got to make one breakthrough generally. And it's got a big world, it's also got a small world and word of mouth. And if people appreciate what you're doing, they will recommend you.
Yes,
to other people.
Once you're in, it's just getting in is sometimes
absolutely,
the issue.
But you
can get there.
Yeah. Or go and get a job where it pays loads of money.
Yeah.
In which case, don't bother.
Excellent. And that's everything I've got for you, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank,
thank you,
you
very much for joining.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. A big thank you to Bill for that. Bill is an absolute legend within the sound industry. He's been doing it a long, long time. So it was great for him to come on and just share some of his experiences with us. It's amazing how different it was back when Bill first started to how it is now. How you're getting in is different. Everybody has a different journey, and that's what this podcast is about, hearing about people's journeys and about how you can get in and the experiences people have within the theatre industry. If you like that one, continue to listen. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody you know who likes theatre, and anybody who know who doesn't like theatre, because they may end up liking theatre because of it. Send us some emails on twatspod@hotmail.com, and Facebook is Twats Podcast, Instagram is Twats Podcast, TikTok is Twats Podcast. Keep those downloads coming, keep those questions coming, and I shall see you for the final episode of season 2 next week. Thanks, guys.